Pastor Cassiola back. He's
not just a friend, he's my brother. And may my family prayed greatly for him. And we thank God. I just said this. I looked at my wife. I said, God's not done with that man.
Amen.
Just not done with him, with the health issues and stuff that he's had previously and so on. God's just not done. He's got something. And so I'm grateful to see him here.
Right.
Is that my water?
Yes, it
all
is.
All right, excellent, because I start coughing and all that nonsense goes on and stuff.
I just
took
a little bit out.
Yeah, that's fine, brother. I appreciate you testing it for me. But so our last letter, yeah, a lot's changed. We know we just came off the road. Most of you know I'm not going to spend too much time on it because we're going to put out a January prayer letter. It's going to go into great detail the things that God is doing with Liberty Behind Bars. Right now, we are not moving to Rochester. God has absolutely 100% shut that door and made it absolutely 100% clear. How did he do that? He took our transmission from us. Just saying. We broke down in North Carolina on our way home. We were there an extra week. And in that week, I prayed, you know, God, just make things clear. I was going through a lot of turmoil. What do you want me to do with Liberty? What do you want me to do with my family? This is not easy things, Pastor.
No, that's right.
When I got saved and got in the ministry, nobody told me that I'm going to have to come up with difficult decisions. How do I discern what the Lord wants and what Dale wants? And so in great agony, I spent 4 hours on my knees. I'm not even kidding you. I spent 4 hours in agony praying to God. God, you must show me what I'm to do. You got to not just show me, but will you put it on some men's heart? By the time I was done with that week, I knew clearly. I looked at my wife and said, go ahead and just take the house off the market. We are not going to Rochester. God made that crystal clear to me. I'm absolutely 100% settled. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, or maybes, or anything else. God has just made it clear. And so the jails are closed down across the United States. Most jails are closed down. As you know, chaplains kick people out all the time. So with technology, God has given us another way to be able to minister to those men. Of course, face-to-face is always a wonderful thing, and that will happen from time to time. We'll be able to get back in there and do those visits down in the visit room and such like that. But it's becoming very few and far between that we're able to get in anymore. But they have tablets and we have video. Okay? Already this week, I had three videos already scheduled for this week alone. And I'm sure it's going to be a lot more by the end of the week where I can sit down with those men. They're on the computer. I'm on the computer. And we sit down and we can teach. We can sit down and we can pray with them. We can sit down and do video conferences with them. And, of course, sending that devotional out is a huge thing. Some of the biggest responses I've gotten is from yours, your devotionals that you've sent. The men enjoy them. They love them. And so and then email. I just got another app, a fourth app that I found. Right now I can cover every single county jail in New York State.
Wow. Wow.
I can cover every prison in the United States for state prisons. I found an app called the Core Links. That's every federal prison in the United States. I can now reach out across the Julie Cota out there in California who we're still ministering to.
Wow.
You see, I'm not limited to just one place. We can reach out all over now. And so God is showing us and working that thing out. We are trying to build an app. We are in contact with the Vernon son, who has a man who built him an app. And we want to be able to put an app out there on those tablets where we can put in messages. We can put in devotionals. We can put in good music and stuff. We can take stuff off of Liberty Behind or off of a One Soul at a Time, say your Romans Bible study, and we can put it on that app for those men to listen to. Because right now Joel Osteen's got it covered. That's what they're listening to in there. Because as soon as they found out technology came, guess where they went? To put their apps in there. Okay? And so God has put that on my heart that we need to put an app out there so these men can have a choice of what they want to listen to. These women can have that choice. And so you keep it in prayer as God moves us forward and keeps me and Amy very busy. We are hopefully going to have an office at the church that I'll be able to work out of, do recordings on. I was talking to Brother Ronnie. We get that app built, and me and him can sit down, take turns, and we can do a devotional for those men to listen to. We can record each other, or I can record him on video, and we can put it out there and put it on the app, and now they can listen to a series of messages or a series on something that they may want to preach. Like, I would love to do the book of Leviticus on there.
Yeah,
and send that into those men, or you know, the book of Exodus, or a pastor had something he wanted to send out. Neil, he's good at that kind of stuff. Sit down in front of the camera. We can put that out there, and then men can listen to that stuff. Okay? So the doors aren't closing. It's just different aisles. We have to go through different opportunities when they arise. And so that's kind of where Liberty is behind bars. And of course, me and Amy are getting ready to send out a mass email. Do you know that I'm centrally located here in Belfast, New York, where I can reach over 7 county jails within an hour? Okay? I can get out there and I can do the visits and I can go and work with the families and all that kind of stuff. And so why move? Why would I move to one place and then I'm going to be even farther away from everybody else? When we're centrally located on that, geographically, on that map. Okay? And I didn't even think about Pennsylvania, Cowdersport and all that. I can get out there to those jails and such. And so God has just given us some things and given us some directions, and there's a new fire lit in me. Because for a long time I thought it was me trying to stop God. In all reality, God was just trying to give me a new direction, and I wouldn't listen. But see, sometimes God has to do things for us to listen. And that's what I want to kind of preach on a little bit here tonight. I've been praying, God, I need conviction again. I need you to sin. I need things to matter to me again. I need to have a broken heart over things that I do, or how I might treat people, or things that I might do to other people, or things that you don't like in my life. You see, because when you're out there on the road, you're the main preacher all the time, and you don't get any preaching. It's miserable. Life out there on the road, I feel for those missionaries like I've never felt. It's a miserable place to be. If it's not miserable, they're just in the nonsense with it. I'm telling you right now, I have time to stand here and tell you all the nonsense that me and my family face, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's nonsense outside of these walls. And so I said, God, you know, I've grown cold, Lord. I've grown cold from listening. I've grown cold because I haven't been sitting underneath that preaching. I've grown cold because I'm the one always expected to preach, and it's a wonderful thing. I love it. There's nothing more on this planet that I love to do than preach. But you need to be preached too. I'm 10 years old in the Lord. I'm still a baby in that thing. I need preaching. And so I ask God, start bringing that conviction back to me. Thank you, Pastor, for that 1 o'clock service, because he tore me out the frame. And I hated every minute of it. I didn't walk out there and go, oh no, I walked out like, and then you know what God showed me? You asked for it. Yeah. You know what I said? Thank you, Lord, for that. Yeah. You're exactly right. I need this in my life right now. Taryn, sometimes he gets out of control and somebody's got to control him or whatever else. And, you know, he's gotten real good at sitting in the seat now. And I remember a few short months after them starting to come, and his mom, you know, he wouldn't behave. He said, Dale, would you talk to him? I said, yeah. I said, hey, Taryn, remember, you prayed for this. Mm-hmm. Now, God just threw that back in my face. Remember, yeah. You prayed for this. Remember? You prayed for things that matter some more. You prayed for that conviction, and here it is. So you pray for the Maurice. You pray for me. Because I'm just telling you, the devil's he's attacking. But you know what? Most of the time, the devil don't even have to bother me. I do it enough myself. I get myself in enough trouble. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 20. I'm going to share with you a little bit here tonight. Numbers chapter 20. And it's very strange last couple of weeks for me. Well, last couple of 40, 50 years. But God has just given me message after message after message. And I find myself sometimes as a preacher saying, wow, okay, this is a great message. And then I'll start looking at it and start praying over it, and then the Lord will start convicting me. Right. Why? Because that's where I'm at. Yeah. This is one of those messages. This is one of those things that God has showed me. He said, here it is, Dale. Old Mr. Man out there beating on your chest, thinking you're almighty preacher, and look at Liberty behind bars and so on and so forth. And let me bring you down some notches. And so he gave me Numbers chapter 20. Let's start in verse 12 and look what it says. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Pastor John, would you please pray for the service?
Father, I pray, help the man of God here to get through this and give us the understanding we need in this. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. I just want to spend a few minutes here on the phrase, "because you believed me not." We always equate that to the unbelievers. But we have to look here. He's talking to Moses and Aaron. Because, mighty Christian, we can get caught up in unbelief ourselves. And God has given them an accusation. He's saying, look, because you believe me not, you have not sanctified me in the eyes of Israel. And how many of us are doing that to our children today? How many are doing that to our parents today? How about where our workplace is? How is it that because we believed not that we have left off sanctifying God in the people's eyes? It's running rampant in the churches today. It's running rampant in our communities. It's running rampant in our the places of our employment that we have not sanctified God in their eyes. They are not seeing Jesus Christ when we walk around. They're not seeing God in our actions. Therefore, we go and blame everybody else. We blame the abortionists for abortions. We blame the government for COVID and everything else. If it is their fault, God allowed it. Why? Because we forgot to sanctify God in their eyes. You know, instead of people coming to run to me for prayer, they run from us. Christians have been a laughingstock during the COVID. A pure and absolute laughingstock. Bro, I go in there and I listen to those men, and all they'll say is this: "Them Christians don't believe any more than me, Dale." Why? Because all they hear is the complaining. Can God take care of this situation we're in or no? Is God not allowing every single thing to go on in America today that is going on? Who allowed Joe Biden to become president? I don't like Joe Biden just like the next man doesn't. But do I believe God? Are we sanctifying God in the eyes of the people that are around us? By all of our complaints, Moses and Aaron, because you believed not, now you can't enter into the promised land. Why? Because you didn't sanctify me in the eyes of Israel. And we just take that as a light thing. And we continue to go out there and we complain, we moan, and we grumble. But yet, we're supposed to get people to believe that we have a God who can take care of everything. My children, listen to me. And they hear me mumble and they hear me complain and why this and why that. Does that sound like somebody who believes in a holy God? You think I'm helping my children's faith grow a little bit more by doing that, Stephen? It's pulling them away. It's not helping them. How many of us really, if you take and think about what I'm going to say, how many of us really believe God's in control? Honestly. I hear it all the time. And then I watch how people live and I listen to their mouth and I go, that person really doesn't believe God is in control. That's the reality. And because we believe not, we don't sanctify God in our communities. We don't sanctify God in our families. We don't sanctify Him in our churches. We don't sanctify Him in our families and in our workplaces. And that was an accusation that God made against Aaron and Moses. And guess what? If you're saved in here tonight, wonderful. But let me say this. If you're not saved, that might keep you from being saved when you hear people grumble all the time. It's hard to believe in a God when the floor falls out, isn't it, Amy? But did he give us, let me just say this. Did he say, I want you to believe in me with this exception. One of the biggest struggles of my life still is honor thy mother. My father's dead. Is to honor thy mother. What exception did he give me, Randy, but to honor my mother?
That's right.
He didn't say, honor your mother if. Oh, no. That goes with the word of God, Stephen. There's no if. It's pretty clear and cut. And yet, Ronnie, I just told you before I walked up here, I don't deserve to be up here tonight. This is, I asked God, would you please put on the man of God's heart to change his mind? Did I not pray that, Amy, sitting in the car? Because I failed because I believed not God. And guess what? I failed in front of my children. And now I have to get up here. And I have to preach this. Because you know why God didn't change the man of God's heart? Last time I prayed that, I'm not kidding you, Pastor John. I prayed, Lord, if you don't want me up there tonight, we're in North Carolina. I said, you change the man of God's heart. And I sat down in a chair and I said, Lord, seriously, change the man of God's heart. Brother Vernon walked over to me tonight and says, you're not preaching tonight. I take that stuff very serious. I just want you to know that. I'm not trying to get up here. I'm not trying to get up here because, oh, I think that I'm something or I think that I have something that everybody should hear. That's not why I get up here. I get up here because I want to be faithful to the preaching of the Word of God because I want people to believe. I want people to get saved. I want them to see that there's hope. But I'm telling you now, when we as believers can't show that to people, what are they going to believe in? Because of the unbelief of Moses and Aaron, they failed to consecrate or set God apart in the eyes of the people. This is a running rampant in our hearts. It's running rampant in our homes because of unbelief and sin. Man has not sanctified God in his eyes or the eyes of the people. They're turning, ready? They're turning to man's logics. They're turning to the programs. And they're turning to the philosophies. Why are they doing that? Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. God has made us upright, but we have sought out many inventions, many different things, many different philosophies, many different ways to God. And people are out there searching. I got a guy who wrote me today on JPay. I think I got 4 or 5 JPays alone today. He said there's a man, and he's out there searching everywhere. I remember being there. I remember studying behind the Buddhist and Islam and all those things. Why? Because he's not seeing nothing in those Christians going in there, Tim. He ain't seeing no hope in them. I can attest to you being on this side of jail and prison, watching those religious workers go in there, and those men don't, and those women do not care about those inmates. And those inmates know that they don't care about them. They're not being sanctified. God is not being sanctified in those men and women's heart. How do you think if you went to prison? I would love to send some people in this room 60 days in jail. You ever watch that? 60 days in or something like that? I'd love to see it. I've seen Marines crying on their knees. Get me out of here. You think they feel good about being in there? Now, I come along and say, look it, man. All you have to do is pray this prayer. How many of those you think I can get? You know what nobody's going in there telling them? How wicked they are. What their heart really is. You know what they're not doing, Amy? They're not sanctifying God to those people. It's a bragging right. That's what jail ministries are. You know what? Other jail ministries hate me. Because I won't go in there bragging like they do. Well, how many of you got saved? I don't know. How many of you got saved? Well, you know, I had 55 saved. Oh, so your church must be full. The bars in your neighborhood must be closed down. Oh, the drug dealer might not be on the street anymore, correct? Mm-hmm. And people are foolish enough to believe that. Mm. man has sought out many inventions. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. How are we sanctifying God in our children's eyes, in our family's eyes? If we have lost families, sanctifying God in their eyes is so important to their salvation. It's so important to their walk. Man, if you're saved here, it's important to your wife's walk. Look, I'm just telling you now, God has been hammering me on the way I treat my wife. I mean, absolutely, absolutely annihilating me. You know what I've not been doing? I've not been sanctifying God in my wife's eyes.
You know what she's seeing? An effeminate man. That's what she's seeing. Someone who's reacting on his emotions. Somebody who's got allowed everything to come to that point now in her life. And that rock, that stability that she once had.
That's why I thank God for Pastor preaching that. Because it rocked my world today. I need my world rocked. You know why? I want people to see God in me. I want them to see Jesus Christ in me. I want them to see that there's a hope for a man that had no hope. I'm always a mess. If you think anybody in this room is any better, you got another thing coming. Let me bring the Bible to you for a few minutes. We're all a mess in here. But let me just say this. How are people looking at us?
Greg, I still got things that hang over my head that I done 5, 6, 7 years ago, man. That people will not let go. You know why? Because I didn't sanctify God in their eyes. It's a price I have to pay. I'm willing to pay it, though, because I want them to see that, no, I'm working on it. I want them to see that, no, God is working in this man. I'm a work in progress. I don't claim to have it all.
I tell God every night before I go to sleep, Lord, whatever you need. If you need to shut LBB down, you go ahead and do that. I'm fine with it. I'll sit in a pew and go to heaven from there. That's my prayer. People think I need LBB to make me who I am, and I don't.
LBB doesn't make me who I am. Jesus Christ does. Amen.
But most people will know me by LBB. Don't know me by that. Know me by what Jesus Christ is doing in my life. That's how I want you to know me. I don't want you to know me by LBB. Know me by what Jesus Christ is doing in my life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7 says this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children."
What a horrible mistake me and my wife has made being on the road. We're a family altar type of people. We sit down at dinner time and we do family altar with our children.
We stopped it. What happened? Oh, we let busyness, we let our pride, we let everything else get in the way. What did that do for my children? Did that sanctify God in my children's eyes, you think, Stephen? Anybody in here think that by us doing those things, that it really helped my children to want and desire those things of God? Not for one minute. It says to diligently teach your children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. That means when you're home with your family, you should be talking about the things of God. What your conversation is about. Think about what we talk about with our children. I know I get in that time where all I do is complain. That's not what that told me to do. Hey, you know what? This is going on, children. But guess what? We're going to pray. And we're going to put it in God's hands. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we did that? Look what he says here. "And when thou walkest in the way." You know that's in public. You know, in public, Pastor, we're supposed to be showing ourselves separate, that we're Christians.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be talking about the things of God. Now, how many times do we find ourselves way out over here, and that person we're talking to, or that cashier that we think's not hearing or listening to us? Whew. How about that one? Pastor Haynes did it right on the head this morning. Wow, it was hard services for me today. Talking about who, you know, walking to the cash register, would you run a little faster?
Yep.
I'm that type of jerk, but you know what? That's something that needs to stop. You know why? Because my children are watching me.
Right.
It tore my heart up when he said that today. I looked at my wife and I said, yes, I would do that. Didn't I just tell me in public that I should be doing the things that God wants me to do? Because you believe not. You've not sanctified God in the eyes of Israel. How's that person with that cart going to feel about me? Some big old ogre, some bully trying to get in line before him. That's all they feel. Hey, here, would you like a track? Hey, don't listen to that man trying to talk to you about Jesus Christ. He just cut me off with his cart. And when thou walkest in thy way, here it is, and when thou liest down and when thou risest up, in our private time, we should be talking about the things of God. With who? God. God. I love my home. Why? Because when I get up, they're all sleeping. I get 4 to 5 hours to me and God. I need that. It's not something that I have to do or God's got to whip and, you know, I got to get up. Oh, I'm dragging because I have to go home and read. Oh, no. I desire to have that time with God. I need him to be talking to me. I need him to be showing me things in that Bible. I need him to be speaking to me. I need to hear his voice because you know why? The world is so loud that I can't hear his still small voice. I think it was Bryson. That knucklehead, or no, it was Eric Bailo. Huh? Yeah, the other knucklehead, Eric Bailo. He said, you know what needs to happen? He was teaching my Sunday school. He goes, you know what needs to happen? I said, what's that? He goes, everybody needs to turn the worlds down so they can hear God's still small voice. I thought, my goodness, that's wisdom in that. I wish you would have listened to it. But there's wisdom in that. Sometimes we let the world overcome and we don't hear what God's saying. And then when God tells us something, and I said it a few weeks ago at our church, you know, we pray for something, and we pray for something, and we pray, and it starts going in a different direction. We go, oh no, Lord, I'm sorry, maybe I didn't pray right. No, maybe it's God just leading another way. Maybe God is going in a different direction, but you know what the problem is? We don't believe it. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In those verses before, he said, don't worry about what you're going to wear or eat. How many of us worry about what we're going to wear and eat? I mean, be honest. Why? Because we really don't believe that God is going to do what he's going to do. And guess who? Guess who's listening? Our families, our co-workers. It's not a wonder, Pastor, that people aren't believing in God anymore. How can that we're not sanctifying God in their eyes? I'm guilty. I'm not saying this to you. I'm saying this is to us. Yep. I'm not pointing at you guys and saying, oh no. Remember where this message came to me. Because God was showing me something about myself. We are failing to sanctify God in our hearts and our homes and our churches. Who and what are people seeing in us? Jeremiah 17:5-6 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. It's not a wonder the churches are in the mess they're in today. Why? Because they're trusting in that man behind the pulpit and not God. God has appointed men to get up here and preach and to be our shepherds. But that's as far as Christians go today. Well, Dale, why would you say that? Because I just traveled 6 weeks and saw that's all we saw was man worship. Man worship after man worship after man worship after man worship after man worship. There was nothing about Jesus Christ. There was nothing holy about anything that they said or done. How do you know that? Because when a man tells you to get over COVID, Pastor, by drinking bourbon, that's what he said. He said, I had COVID real bad. He goes, you know how I got over? I was drinking bourbon. I'm an ex-alcoholic. I'm a recovered alcoholic. What if I didn't have the maturity level?
Right.
And there's a new born-again Christian sitting there who struggled with alcohol. And he hears that man say it's okay to go out there and use that stuff when you're sick. What do you think that young person might do? How dare you? The destruction it caused in my family. The hurt, the pain, the death that I've seen from alcohol. And you're okay with that. He says, I got a friend of mine, you know, he's born again. He had to put that in there. Who got busted with 6 pounds of cocaine. Driving while he was intoxicated. That's only an inkling of the stuff that we faced out there on the road. Why? They don't really believe this.
No.
They don't believe this book. They claim it. They say, yeah, we read it, we study it. But you know what? They Greekify everything. They Hebrewify everything. They can't just stay with the King James Bible. Pastor, how am I going to go in there and teach these guys? Listen, if you want a better understanding of the Bible, we got to get you some Greek lessons, all right? Them guys are going to look at me and go, I can barely spell. Well, don't worry, I'll give you the King James Bible to teach you how to spell and read without anything else.
Amen.
I don't always talk properly, but you know what? This King James Bible has taught me how to talk properly. It's funny. I got an email the other day from the administration from the Monroe County Jail, and really we're gonna situate some things around. We're all going on Thursday mornings and do one-on-one private visits. Then on Thursday afternoon, I'll go in and work the mainframe. My heart's in the mainframe. It's always been in the mainframe. Leave me in the mainframe. Okay, that's what I told them. Just leave me there with those men. I can't go from mainframe to the towers and back. It doesn't work that way. I need to gain the trust of the men in the mainframe. You have to leave me there. That's what I instructed them. He said, bro, you got it. He says, I need to be in that mainframe. Now I got to start all over again, man. Actually, I don't even know a soul in there. I think one person. And it's going to take a long time for me to ever gain anything back in there again. I'm going to have to go through a whole lot of stuff. But you know what Matthew Van Duzy told me? He's the one who's in charge of everything. He said, I just want you to know, I searched you out on YouTube. He goes, I've been watching your preaching. He said, man, that's great. He's not even a saved person. I need time with those men. Why? Because somebody's got to go in there and teach them to believe, Stephen. They have no clue. Because there's not a person in there going in and sanctifying God in their eyes. There's not a person. It's all about religion. And it destroys those men and women when they get home. It says their hearts departed from the Lord. Verse 6. For it shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when goodness come. Or when good cometh. How blind people are today when good comes and they can't even recognize it anymore. You know why? Because the man has told them something different. Man tells them all the time, look it. Good things are going to come. And when something good comes, it wasn't by prayer that done it. Didn't I tell you we would get that? Uh-oh. Didn't I say that would happen? Now let's give glory to Jesus. Now let's thank God for what he's providing. But he says, no, this thing is going to happen where they come and now everything's going to fall on that man. Why? Because they believe not on God anymore. Look at, man, I'm just telling you this. I am not picking on anybody on this planet, but I'm telling you right now, people in church don't believe in God anymore. They believe in a religion and they believe in a man that's standing up there. That's what they believe in. That's reality. And they don't even know when good cometh. Thank God. God settled me down and I was able to see what Pastor John Askus really was when he first started coming to our church. Because my whole thing to go down there and visit him was to teach him a thing or two. Yeah. Okay. But that's the attitude of people. Didn't see when that good came. I do now. I'm almost done here. He says, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land. And not inhabited. That's churches today. You know how they drum it up, Pastor? Shouting and hooting and hollering. I think it was Tim McVeigh said that's how they're covering up their deadness. Oh my, are they living in a salt land? Me and Amy just sat there in agony, church after church after church after church. after church in that. And I'm telling you, man, it becomes wearing on the soul. It comes very heavy and hard. Why? Because people have left the believing on God. People have left this Bible. People have left being God being sanctified in their eyes. And I'm just telling you, it's a horrible place to be. But look what it says here. You won't teach what you don't believe. You won't live what's not sanctified in your heart and your life. And we'll see this play out later in the children of Israel when they asked for a worldly king. You see, they wanted to have a man who ruled over them. A sinful, defiled, gross man come and rule over them, over a holy and true and righteous God who would do it out of a pure love. They said, we don't want you to rule over us. We want a king. That's what people are doing today in churches. That's what they're doing in homes today. That's what they're doing out there in society. We don't want God over us. We want a man. And they're getting it. And are they going to get it? I'm going to say this. God is going to use this COVID, regardless of where it came from or how it came from, but to bring judgment upon America. They've turned their heart. They've turned themselves against the holy God. And guess what? Christians are going to suffer with it just as well as the unsaved people.
Yep.
Where are people going to turn? Who do they have to turn to, Greg? Who are they seeing in you? What kind of confidence do they have to come to you in these times? We all have our political views. Most of us, I think, pretty sure we're all have the same political view in this room. But it's not about politics.
That's right.
This lost soul is going to hell because of our politics. Mm-hmm. So I want you to know that. Because we're supposed to believe in a holy God that can take care of all things. Mm-hmm. Who cares who's up in the up there in the office? Does that matter, really? Does it matter where COVID came from? It's here. But we care more about COVID than we do souls. Everywhere we traveled. And it's a sickness. It's happening. It's going on. People are dying from it. Man of God, 45 days in the hospital. But that's over-trumped people's lives. It's taken over everything. People are fighting, Pastor. Fist fighting over the vaccination, whether to be vaccinated or not. Quite frankly, it's none of anybody's business what you do.
That's right.
That's how I feel about it. I don't care what you think about it. I don't. Because you know why? People are dying and going to hell and we're worried about a vaccine. What's it going to do if I got vaccinated? Or when I got vaccinated, send me to heaven a little early? I don't care about it. I just don't. Because I'm watching people addicted to drugs. How about the phone calls I'm getting in the middle of the night, Pastor? You think they're talking to me about COVID? They're talking to me about their husband dying with a needle in his arm. That's what's going on. And we're worried about everything else. Well, oh boy, I'm glad we sanctified God in those people's eyes. My gosh. Where have we gotten to? Are those important things? I'm not saying sweeping them on the rug, they're not important things. They are. But I'm telling you right now, eternity in hell is more important. A soul getting saved, somebody being dealt with, a family that's being twisted and torn apart is more important than any of that. Wouldn't you like to see him on that front church pew, Amy? Man, I'm telling you, God has put some people in my wife's life. Man, sometimes I don't even know how to carry that burden. It's so heavy, and it's so hard, and it's so tear-jerking. I mean, it breaks your heart to hear what they're going through. It tears your soul out of you. When you watch those men, when you watch those ladies, and you look at them, you go, man, what happened? We had some people in church today, Pastor. You know who they are. I looked at Amy and said, my God, that poor woman. That poor woman. My heart is just wrenched. But what I believe, whatever politics or whatever I believe in shots or any of that, doesn't matter. when there's lives at stake?
Amen.
What are we believing in? Where are people looking and saying, you know what? That man, that woman believes God. We need to get to them because they have something we want. Do you know why I stayed at Black Creek Baptist Church when I first started coming? Because I seen something in him. I didn't see John Asmith. I just want to make that clear. Though I love you, and you know I have all the respect for you in the world. But it wasn't John Asquith that made me stay there. It's what that man had, and I wanted it. I kid you not. I would tell my wife, after I would tell him to leave my house or kick him out of the house, I would say, I want what that man has. How many people are coming to our church wanting what we have? How many are coming to Anchor wanting what you guys have? I am almost done. Look what it says here. I'm going to read something that I wrote. The wicked in his pride do persecute the poor. Let him be taken into the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesses the covetousness, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. I just got to read this one verse. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God, where? In your hearts. I mean, can I say this? How can you sanctify the Lord God in your hearts when there's not enough room for him? Religion's there. The world's there. Work's there. Worry's there. Money's needs are there. How can you sanctify God in your heart when there's no room to sanctify him in your heart? You know, if we start sanctifying God in our hearts, it will reflect in our life. You know, people try to hide a lot of things. My children have come to realize that Dad is an ex-convict. And they try to hide things, and it doesn't fly by Dad. I catch it very quickly. But that's how people are living their lives, even so-called Christians or whatever. They try to hide things in their life, but they make it more prevalent when they do that. Why? Because they have not sanctified God in their hearts. How about it, church? When do we start sanctifying God in our hearts? That our families, our children, our church, our communities. Do we even care about the neighbor that we're supposed to love? I don't know who said it, Pastor Hain, or you said it today, loving your neighbor as yourself. Was that you? That tore me up. You know what? I don't love my neighbor like that. And I know it's talking about more than just your physical neighbor, but I don't even love the one closest to me. I don't treat them like I would treat myself. Do you? If you treat your neighbor like you treat yourself, then go ahead and give some of your paycheck up. Go ahead and give out some of your clothing. Go ahead and help them pay their bills. You see, we don't believe in a God who can provide for our neighbors as well as us. Therefore, my neighbors, when they look at me, if it wasn't for my mouth, they would never see God sanctified in my life. This is where Dale Morey's at. This is what God does not want for Dale Morey. And if it doesn't change, a lot of things are going to go downhill. Are you afraid of that? Of course I am.
Amen.
It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Mm-hmm. Fearful. So you pray for us. God has things for liberty behind bars, but he also has things for the knucklehead running liberty behind bars, and that's just reality. I can't escape because I've been saved for 10 years and I'm in the ministry. Now all this, oh no. Oh no. Even more so, you know why, Greg? It's as if you're going to preach the gospel, you have to live the gospel. Pretty heavy accusation there. So you pray for us as we pray for you guys. Pray that God would open doors. Pray that God would help us in what direction that we need to go. Pray that God would get this family strengthened. That we get this family back again. And we are going to read that book together.
Amen.
But you pray for us at the Morey's. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Father, what he said.